work purposes or otherwise have taken a jab, and that's okay. I understand Dr. Brian Artis, who is from Dallas, has suggestions on what to do for those that have taken the jab. And we will have more up on our website. I think Peter McCullough and Dr. Lee Vallette with Truth for Health also has information up to help build up your immune system. It's not the end of the world. So what, you know, just don't worry about it. And I think that, God's supernatural. He can get that out of your system so quick and just pray for that as well. So Dr. Brian Artis from Dallas, he lost his father, to remdesivir last year, and he's suing Gilead Science, who developed remdesivir. And the largest shareholder, or one of the largest shareholders of remdesivir, has been George Soros. Bill Gates was the guy that put $10 million behind Moderna to start him and put many, many more millions. So you see the guys that are traveling in this world. So Dr. Peter McCullough, Dallas, Dr. Brian Artis, A-R-T-I-S, I think it is, and a very impressive guy.
Yeah. Regeneron's
good. Yeah. Monoclonal antibody. Thank you. Regeneron. It's a great product. Alan West here in Dallas, I was at a thing he spoke at recently. He said, man, he took that and did some ivermectin hydroxy, as far as I know, but Regeneron was a big boost for him. So Regeneron. Yes, sir. Incredible. And this gentleman used to work at Merck and worked on the ivermectin when it first came out. And he had COVID recently, couldn't get it through the local pharmacy called Merck. As a former employee, got the ivermectin in about 3 days. You felt much better.
Take,
and that's pretty normal. And monoclonal, Regeneron helps. So, you just have to do your homework. What you heard here, Dr. McCullough. Also, at the top of our website, Frontline Doctors, Dr. Pierre Corey, who I mentioned up there, they have a good protocol there to follow. Right now, I'm loading up on vitamin D this time of the year. I'm moving from 5,000 IUs to 10,000 because of the winter. Sun's the best form of getting vitamin D. You need your vitamin D levels at least 50 plus. 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. If you got a virus coming through, bump it to 2,000, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. Zinc is real important. And some people use... Quercetin, 500 milligrams, cortisone, what's that? You're a gentleman here is a pharmacist, so lysine or, but especially those first four, and melatonin is getting a lot of press right now as being, with those other four, melatonin is 5 milligrams of melatonin a day. Yeah. And the last 4 to 6 weeks, we hear a lot about melatonin. But those websites that I mentioned, and Truth for Health, Dr. Lee Vallette's a good friend. We're on frequent Zoom calls helping the messaging. And she just, on that website, she and Dr. McCullough, Dr. Alexander, and about 6 or 7 other doctors did a 90-minute program for the parents of Brophy and Xavier Catholic schools in Phoenix because of being forced the jab and forced the mask. So she brought in the team of doctors and then took 90 minutes of questions from the parents. So Truth for Health, Dr. Lee Vallette, V-L-I-E-T. She and McCullough work close together. And again, they're at the top of watch.org, and we'll continue to monitor this. So Dr. Robert Malone was talking about the Archbishop this week, and he has a 10-minute message basically saying we got to stand up against these this is probably a born-again Catholic. He is a strong man of faith, and God is using him at a critical stage. So, okay, Frank, you want to play that? I appreciate this man for what he's doing. Courage.
Dear friends, for 2 years now, we have been witnessing a global coup d'etat in which a financial and ideological elite has succeeded in seizing control of part of the national government, public and private institutions, the media, the judiciary, politicians and religious leaders. All of these, without distinction, have become enslaved to these new masters who ensure power, money and social affirmation to their accomplices. Fundamental rights, which up until yesterday were presented as inviolable, have been trampled underfoot in the name of an emergency. Today, a health emergency, tomorrow, an ecological emergency, and after that, an internet emergency. This global coup d'etat deprives citizens of any possibility of defense, since the legislative, executive, and judicial powers are complicit in the violation of law, justice, and the purpose for which they exist. It is a global coup d'etat, because this criminal attack against citizens extends to the whole world, with every very rare exception. It is a world war, where the enemies are all of us, even those who unwittingly have not yet understood the significance of what is happening. It is a war fought not with weapons, but with illegitimate rules, wicked economic policies, and intolerable limitation of natural rights. Supranational organizations, financed in large measure by the conspirator of this coup d'etat, are interfering in the government of individual nations and in the lives, relationships, and health of billions of people. They are doing it for money, certainly, but even more. So in order to centralize power so as to establish a planetary dictatorship, it is the Great Reset of the World Economic Forum, the Agenda 2030 of the United Nations. It is the plan of the New World Order, in which a universal republic enslaves everyone, and a religious of humanity cancels faith in Christ. In the face of this global coup d'etat, it is necessary to form an international anti-globalist alliance which gathers all those who want to oppose the dictatorship, who have no intention of becoming slaves to a faceless power, who are not willing to cancel their own identity, their own individuality, their own religious faith. If the attack is global, the defense must also be global. I call upon rulers, politicians and religious leaders, intellectuals and all people of goodwill, inviting them to unite in an alliance that launches an anti-globalist manifesto, refuting point by point the errors and deviation of this dystopia of the New World Order, and proposing concrete alternatives for a political program inspired by the common good, the moral principles of Christianity, traditional values, the protection of life and the natural family, the protection of business and work, the promotion of education and research, and respect for creation. This anti-globalist alliance will have to bring together the nations that intend to escape the infernal yoke of tyranny and affirm their own sovereignty, forming agreements of mutual collaboration with nations and people who share the principle and the common yearning for freedom, justice, and goodness. It will have to denounce the crimes of the elite, identify those responsible, denounce them to international tribunals, and limit their excessive power and harmful influence. It will have to prevent the action of the lobbies, above all by fighting against the corruption of state officials and those who work in the information industry, and by freezing the capital used to destabilize the social order. In nations where the government is subservient to the elite, they will be able to establish popular resistance movement and communities of national liberation, including representatives of all sectors of society who propose a radical reform of politics inspired by the common good and firmly opposed to the neo-Malthusian project of the globalist agenda. I invite all those who want to defend the traditional Christian society to meet together in an international forum to be held as soon as possible, in which representatives of various nations come together to present a serious, concrete, and clear proposal. My appeal is made to political leaders and to rulers who care about good of their citizens, leaving aside the old system of political parties and the logic imposed by a system enslaved to power and money. I call the Christian nation together from east to west, inviting head of state and the healthy forces of institutions, the economy, labor, university, healthcare, and information to join a common project, disrupting the old system and putting aside the hostility that are designed by the enemies of humanity in the name of divide et impera. We do not accept our adversaries' rules, because they are made precisely to prevent us from reacting and organizing an effective and incisive opposition. I call upon nations and their citizens to ally themselves under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and Savior, the Prince of Peace. In Oxinio vinces. Let us found this anti-globalist alliance. Let us give. It is a simple and clear program. And let us free humanity from a totalitarian regime that brings together in itself the horrors of the worst dictatorships of all time. If we continue to delay, if we do not understand the threat that looms over us all, if we do not react by organizing ourselves into a firm and courageous resistance, this infernal regime that is establishing itself everywhere will not be able to be stopped. And may the Almighty God assist us and protect us.
LifeSite News has an enormous following. They're a Catholic organization, have been on the front line of the pro-life movement for a long, long time. And they also are in lockstep with evangelical Christians when it comes to the jabs, the vaccines, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Archbishop Vigano is calling for an anti-globalist alliance. I'm glad that there is some voice in the world that's attempting to do this. He's incredibly well-respected. And like this commentary or this quote here, it says, under the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and Savior, to fight back against the establishment of the New World Order. So he is a Catholic, but he's a bold Catholic. And I said earlier, he seems to, hopefully and prayerfully, Mike, I don't know if he's a born-again believer, but I pray that he is, and he certainly needs our prayers, because this guy is putting his life at risk, and he's doing it from Italy. And he's very well respected in the world, Vatican and Catholics around the world, and that's bold. We don't have anybody that I know of with that kind of audience that's speaking that truth. But then again, this is the final days. You know, these are the final days. Nothing new. It's all expected to be like this. One world order is definitely a big part of it, and you know, we're just moving into that period of time, so I do appreciate his boldness. I'm going to go through these countries quickly. Israel's PM Bennett was with his 9-year-old son recently getting jabs after having had COVID. Sad to see this. Austria police conduct random checks to enforce COVID lockdowns for the unvaccinated. I won't read into all the details. Germany is a step closer to making COVID vaccines mandatory, impose strict curbs on unvaccinated. New Zealand now, Auckland, has a 90% vaccination rate of people aged 12 and older or older. Australia, Dan Andrews is his divisive pandemic bill. Just think, Melbourne, Australia is usually in the top three most... Hey, Don. Call home. Australia, Melbourne, Australia, is one of the three most livable cities in the world. And they went through 262 days of lockdown. Who'd have ever thought? And, you know, many of you probably have met Australians. They're jovial. They're happy-go-lucky. They're free-spirited. And to see this happen in Australia is just still even hard for us to comprehend. I'm in touch with friends in Melbourne, and everybody, they can't believe it, but there's not enough Christians in the country to really stand up against it. See, that's the benefit we have in the United States. But their lockdown is getting worse. They were even talking about different fines, so like 5 to 12, a certain fine for not wearing a mask, 12 to 17, another fine level, and then above. I mean, there's so many restrictions. You can't believe this. I mean, it's like a bad dream. And then Italy is making COVID-19 health passes mandatory for all workers. And Italy's attempt is to make life uncomfortable for the unvaccinated. That's what these European countries are doing. Again, very few believers in these countries. And I stay in contact with Christians in at least 5 of these countries. And they just don't know what to do. I have a pastor friend in The Hague in the Netherlands. He said, Bill, we can't even bring it up in our church anymore. It's so divisive between the pro and the negative. I can't go there anymore. It got so testy. So right now they're seeing these privileges being stripped. And Scott Milliken, who has a company in the Netherlands, off goes Houston back to Amsterdam, says that usually the Netherlands will be one of the last to be compliant. But it just works that way. But nonetheless, small church in The Hague, they can't discuss it. Canada, very strict again. You know, Carl couldn't come and visit us because he couldn't get through the border. And maximum 20 people for informal indoor household gatherings, maximum 50 people for informal outdoor gatherings. I won't go into detail, but you see how tight it is in Canada. Canada is another one. It's, you know, just really kind of a European extension. So anyhow, that's pretty much it for the coronavirus now. But again, we'll keep everybody informed at our website, watch.org, and keep adding things to keep everybody informed. The Afghan debacle. Boy, what a mess. I mean, that's an understatement of the year. What a total, absolute disaster. And we had 2,500 troops there basically pulled out, and then we're supposed to evacuate all these people? I mean, it's crazy. Anybody in their right mind? I mean, this had to be so stupid it had to be on purpose. It's as if this was on purpose. And then they brag about getting 120,000 people out of Afghanistan in record time. Well, I bet you about 90% of those people were not the people working for us. They got to the airport and are going to be spread all over the country, just like our border problem here in Texas and Arizona and California. I mean, you know, you look at this global thing, you look, I mean, this has got to be on purpose. Maybe 2 million people coming into our country this week or this year. Or in 12-month period from Biden taking office. And then you have Fauci saying, oh, we're going to be strict on people flying into our country. But when asked about what about the people coming through the border, well, that's a separate issue. And he gets away with it. So and then they say, oh, Trump cut the deal. No, Trump, I tell you, if any of this would have happened, they'd have stopped it in a second. And they had also got our billions and billions and billions of dollar equipment out. And unfortunately, Trump used a rather graphic term this week, but he said, you know, that idiot Miley said we don't have the money to get our equipment out. You know, billions and billions. And guess who's going to have the benefit of that? Taliban. They're going to be the best armed terrorist group in the world. Bagram Air Force Base, guess who's moving in there? China. They're going to move in there. They got $2 to $3 trillion worth of minerals in Afghanistan. And who are the big oil players right now in Iraq? Russia and China. Exxon's trying to bail out of there. I don't know if they'll be able to get out, but who is running our government? I was George W. Bush says, oh, yeah, we use the oil assets of Iraq to help pay for our wars. You know, yeah, just, you know, outside of just the final day stupidity, but I mean, it is definitely a factor. We're watching the Israel situation very closely right now. Israel is urging the United States to act militarily against Iran amid stalled nuke talks. And I've shared this before, a lady that I knew that was with the CIA for 28 years. We were talking one day on the sidelines of the UN, and she said it's not by chance that the Chinese, the Iranians, or the Chinese, the Persians, and Jews have survived the century because they're that smart. Chinese have got a plan, and it's working very effectively. The fentanyl, the movement of Huawei facilities near our military bases, the hacking of our Pentagon, the hacking of many of our websites, the use of TikTok to manipulate the young people in America. I don't know when it all plays out, and hopefully we'll be all gone before this happens, but they got a plan. They're very patient, very strategic. And they're looking at what makes a difference in our country. I mean, I mean, not our country, but I mean the fight over CRT, critical race theory, and pronouns, the proper pronouns and the different genders, and then whether to wear masks or not, or to get jabbed or not get jabbed. You know, they got to be looking at us like, you guys are just unbelievable. And it's happening. We're so dumbed down. And the Chinese are so smart. They got a strategic plan and they're implementing it perfectly. And the Chinese also very shrewd. They go loan money to all these third world countries. And when you knowing they won't pay them back, they say, okay, we'll reduce the debt or wipe the debt. We just want to be able to put a military facility in your country. They've got a plan. The road, their Silk Road program or Belt and Road program, they've loaned, they're going to do $40 billion worth of business with Iran. They are building, they're going to, one of the Chinese companies is going to control the port in Haifa, Israel. They're bidding right now to build the light rail system in Tel Aviv. They're building a port in Ashdod. The United States says, you know, you got to, Israel, you got to stop doing business with China. You got to stop it. They're so smart. They're the largest buyer of Saudi oil, and they're going to have all those minerals or access to all the minerals in Afghanistan, business with Iran, and we just sit back doing nothing. Our two-party system has its benefits, but I tell you what, right now it's a bunch of kids running our country. You can't believe what's coming out of Washington right now. Mark Levine, the great Jewish TV star and pundit, says this is the dumbest Congress we've ever had. The dumbest. I'm sad to say that. That's probably true. Look at the stupid conversations they have. Look at the battles on both sides. It's just unbelievable. But anyhow, the Iran supreme leader calls for destruction of Israel. I had an Iranian fellow once. We had dinner with an Iranian and his wife. My wife had shared Jesus with her through our church. And he said, you know, those Iranian negotiators get their PhDs in negotiations. He says they're masters. Another friend of mine at the Israeli embassy in Washington says you can't out-negotiate an Iranian. They'll agree to a deal, then won't comply, and then go back to the negotiating table and agree to something else with less teeth. And right now they're in Vienna, Austria, meeting with the leaders, the P5+1 that cut the Obama nuke deal with Germany, France, Russia, China, and France and the United States. P5+1, the United States. So they're negotiating as the head of Iran and one of their top military leaders is calling for the destruction of Israel. At the same time, they're negotiating. Well, if these guys had any guts, they'd pick up their stuff and get out of Vienna and say it's over. But no, we work with them. It wouldn't happen, I tell you, you know, if Trump was in office. No, they'd already be home. And they say the global arrogance led by America with complicity of Israel seeks to delay the realization of the important Israel, important issue, which is the destruction of the Zionist regime. Europeans express dismay, as Iran walks back compromise at Vienna. That's their gift. I mean, this is not a gift. This is the way they do it. They agree today. Tomorrow they won't. You think you got a deal, and then the next day you don't have a deal. And then they retrade it again. And then it's the same pattern every time. Iran submitted two draft proposals that appeared to undo months of dialogue. Typical Iran. Months of dialogue, and then they come up with new proposals. And the senior diplomats from the E3 group of Britain, France, and Germany were disappointed and concerned after thoroughly and carefully analyzing Iranian proposed changes to the text negotiated during the previous six rounds. It's so typical Iran. But they'll keep negotiating. And then Russia is positioning more forces in supply lines as fears rise of a potential Ukrainian invasion. Well, what do you think, Z, of China and Putin of Russia and Khamenei of Iran think right now of who we have running, calling the shots in Washington? You think they're fearful? You think they're up at night? We got Biden and Harris and Pelosi and Schumer. Dumb and dumber. Then Putin warns NATO of Russia's unstoppable missiles if his red line in Ukraine is crossed. Putin warned NATO, and this is going to be a real, you know, NATO, the paper tiger. Warned NATO that deploying troops or advanced missiles to Ukraine would cross a red line. So Putin's give NATO a red line. Russian leader said Moscow would be forced to take action while boasting about Russia's hypersonic missile. They and China both have their own hypersonic missiles now, and they sound pretty intimidating. Hypersonic missiles are designed to virtually be unstoppable and can fly at least five times the speed of sound. And this was in the Washington Post, this image. Russia's planning massive military offensive against Ukraine involving 175,000 troops, according to U.S. intelligence, which thinks they might make a move after the first of the year. And then today, the Biden administration is being called on, calling Germany to not take oil out of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that he approved when he canceled our Keystone pipeline. And now we're paying a lot more for oil and gas, helping Texas, but not a lot of other states and people. And China is toying with Taiwan. I think that's one of the best words. They're toying with them. According to the Sun in the UK, this is their plan that leaked. Number one is attack key installations. 90% of the semiconductors, the most sophisticated semiconductors in the world, are manufactured by Taiwan Semiconductor in Taiwan. They're building a huge facility in Arizona, and you know more and more companies are going to be building their facilities here, but it's not going to be in time. We already have a chip shortage. It's caused a lot of problems. But if they get their hands on those sophisticated chips and control it, I mean, they got the rare earth minerals. They got the chips. They got a plan. I don't know how it's going to play out. The Chinese Communist government does not like the United States. I have a friend of mine who's Chinese, but he worked for a news service that was owned by Fox out of Hong Kong. And he said, you just can't understand fully the depth of hate that the Chinese Communists have for the United States. He said, you can't comprehend it. Very, very nice young man himself, but he said, you can't comprehend that. Stage two would be cruise missile strikes. And then stage three would be warship bombardment. China warplanes made up 159 incursions into Taiwan air defense zone in November, according to AFP's database, the second highest month on record. They just send them right in, right into their airspace and come right back out, and we do nothing. We say, better not do that. It's going to be costly. We're going to respond. Australia said, we will be with the United States and back Taiwan. And China threatened them of very serious retaliation. A country of 25 million that's probably not anywhere near up to the fight. A hypersonic missile was sent around recently, and it happened to go over Australia, part of their intimidation process. Another one of these really 4 to 5 times the speed of sound missiles. And then Lloyd Austin said increased China activity near Taiwan looks like rehearsal. Well, what are they going to do? After Afghanistan, Austin and Milley haven't given a lot of our allies and a lot of Americans much to be confident about. Austin, he said, activity near Taiwan seems indicates a rehearsal of the country's future intentions. He made those comments during a Reagan National Defense Forum in Simi Valley, California. A Chinese hypersonic weapon that alarmed top U.S. military leaders fired something off as it sped toward its target. General Miley said, I don't know if it's a quite a Sputnik moment, but I think it's very close to that. It has all of our attention. And then my last slide before some questions. TikTok is the fastest growing social media platform in the world. They now have 800 million active users. Facebook's at 3 billion. That's more active users than Twitter, Reddit, Snapchat, and Pinterest. Unlike these and other rival platforms, TikTok has at its core recommends content. They are masters in manipulating our young people. They have the young people profiled into three groups. TikTok was one of the causes, if not the cause, of the great tension between the Israelis and Palestinians during the last conflict with Hamas. They had conflict in small communities around Israel that they hadn't had previously because of the instigation of TikTok of hard feelings between the Israelis and the Palestinians. These are master manipulators. And Trump, you know, they said we got to stop TikTok. We got to forbid them. Well, TikTok's as active now as they've ever been before. And it's another nefarious part of the plan. They have, I don't know how many young users they have, but they have the profile of many young users here in the United States that are part of TikTok. And recommendations aren't but a feature. They're what makes TikTok work. TikTok receives more engagements per user than Instagram. On average, its users spend 52 minutes per day on the platform. That's, I would say, addictive. So anyhow, watching a lot of things. It's heavy stuff, but you know we know the end of the book, and you certainly, after being here at this conference, are as well informed as ever. We thank God for giving us 27% of the Bible that gives us the roadmap of what's to follow before Jesus returned for us and before his thousand-year millennial reign. I continue to say that we're very blessed that we're not part of the 100 million Americans that attend replacement theology churches that have no biblical understanding of the state of Israel, the fact that there will be a rapture, the fact that there will be a thousand-year millennial reign by Christ, and that there will be a second coming. They don't know anything about Genesis. They don't know anything about Ezekiel 38-39. They don't know about the Gog-Magog War. They don't know about the biblical significance of the state of Israel. And I just count us very fortunate and blessed to fully understand the Word of God goes from Genesis to Revelation. And I think I'm hearing more and more people on the other side that don't know about this start using like Mark of the Beast, Apocalypse. You know, I tell people the battle, Armageddon. And when I hear Armageddon, I say, that's a battle for Jerusalem. A lot of people don't even in the church, don't even realize Armageddon's the final battle for Jerusalem. You know, watch these countries, Russia, Turkey, Iran, former Soviet Union countries in the Caucasus, Sudan, Libya. So this is an opportunity for us to share prophecy at the end, and also to be encouraged. Keep praying for loved ones and friends that don't know Jesus yet. Because if this keeps up, more and more people are going to want to know what's going on. And we know what's happening, why it's happening, and we can point them to the Scripture. And also, my wife was so good at this. Let's pray and bring him to Jesus. Just go for it. And if they say, well, now's not the right time, that's okay. But just move forward aggressively. Let's pray. And she led a lot of Catholics to Christ. And I did the other day, and one of my Lyft drivers, I led him to Christ the other day. And I said, let's pray. And he became born again. I explained it, what born again was, and that now he had the Spirit of God living in him, and his life is going to change dramatically. And he couldn't thank me enough as I got out of that car. So let's do it. Now's the time. Let's get ready for his return. Thank you. (Clears throat)
Okay, those of you who have questions, and I doubt if anybody does, you can start gathering at the microphones there. And while you're doing that, there's a lot of talk about the Fed is trying to collapse our currency. Do you have an opinion on that? You know, in other words, that this spending that they're doing, that their overall purpose is to collapse the dollar and then come in with a cashless society type thing.
Yeah, create inflation to the point a lot of people can't pay their bills, and you reach a stagflation level where people's incomes are not staying up with the cost of living. And this seems to be part of it. Just print money, print money, print money, create this massive inflation where the cost of life is the point that you can't meet your personal needs, and then the government comes in with the universal wage, basic income, universal basic income. The Fed is working, you know, the cryptocurrency's got them a little nervous. There's $3 trillion now in cryptocurrencies, but the Fed is developing the Fed coin, and they say the reason they're doing the Fed coin because the dollar is the basket. You know, people trade, you know, I think 75-80% of trade in the world is still through the dollar. China wants that position. They're moving quickly with their coin.
What's the Fed thing?
The Fed coin. It's going to be called a Fed coin.
I know. What is that?
It'll be all digital.
Okay.
So elimination of really currency at some point. And so your account will be with the Fed. And that's the concern is, okay, if our account's with the Fed and they don't like what Tommy Ice is saying, we'll shut Tommy's money off. And that's the concern about the Fed coin. They have 30% of the home loans right now. If people have difficulty meeting their needs, well, those home loans are going to be some of the first ones to get reworked. Oh, we'll rework your loan. You got to give us your house, per se. Don't know how it'll work. And then we'll give you a universal basic income. So, and they got a lot of people's checking accounts because of the stimulus plan. So a lot of this stuff is falling into place.
Right. Real quick. We're going to have this session up in about a week, which is much, you know, sometimes it takes 2 or 3 months for us. And there's no video, you know, CDs or anything anymore. Everything's going to be on our website, assuming that it's not shut down.
Daddy, put it up in Rumble. You can keep it up there, Tommy. You know, YouTube, they'll probably pull this down.
Right. We'll see.
Yeah. If they do, I hope they will. Their algorithms are going to pick up some keywords in this.
Yes.
That's how YouTube does it now. Their algorithms will pick up a key. And that's what happened last year with the message. It was talking about Gates and Soros and election and all that. 4 or 5 keywords, it's down.
Right.
So if it goes down, it'll be Rumble. Rumble.
Okay.
That's where a lot of people are parking their video now.
Okay. I saw a thumbs up there in the back from our.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your presentation, Bill. I really appreciate your in-depth research on all of these topics.
Thank you very much.
I am an American citizen who lives in Ukraine, and the massing of troops on the border is a real concern to me.
Yeah.
I understand that Comrade Biden spoke on this issue earlier today. I've been looking around American, Ukrainian, and Russian news sources to figure out what exactly was said. I can't find much. Do you have much insight on...
Well, they're probably looking for his note cards that he used to speak to those folks. So I think once the note cards are found, then something will be up. You know, it's probably something like that. But look, Putin's. They know more about Biden's health than he knows. I mean, they've done their homework. So is the Chinese. They know everything. And if in fact they know a lot more. So they don't take anything he says serious. But they're monitoring things. You know, what's NATO going to do? They're not too worried about NATO. They certainly don't want to see Ukraine part of NATO. That's part of it. And I guess with all that said, I mean, bless your soul to be in the Ukraine right now. Are you going back home soon? Or?
We're slotted on February 14th, assuming Ukraine still exists.
In the capacity. Well, I don't know. I think one thing with prophecy, you know, a lot of things happen, and you think it's going to happen faster than it does.
Yeah.
I don't know. the game. But I think what's critical right now, the next 11 months, is the opportunity for these globalists and all these adversaries to make their move with this administration. It won't be if the Republicans get the House and Senate, that'll help. But we're going to still have the this administration that they're going to still have to deal with them. Whoever that is, Susan Rice, Barack Obama, George Soros, I don't know, whoever's influencing them. So I don't mean to belabor the. I'm trying to answer, but I don't have a lot of confidence in these guys.
As a bit of a follow-up question, the absolute disaster in Afghanistan has sort of become a matter of concern for the expat community of Ukraine. Should we have to get out of Ukraine? Are you able to perceive there in Washington any attitudes that have shifted after Afghanistan? Do we think that it's just going to be a repeat of that again and again and again in the world? Or are we anticipating improved policies and management?
I don't think they care about anybody but themselves. I don't think they could care less. If Biden's as weak as possible, he's bought and paid for. I mean, look at all the stuff's going to come out on Hunter Biden. That's just a little bit. I mean, he's so inadequate. And it's Afghanistan was a joke. Like I said tonight, it had to be on purpose. It couldn't have been. I mean, no one's that dumb, and he didn't do what they told him. I mean, despite the problems with the Pentagon and the intelligence community, he didn't do what they was told to do, at least some residual forces there, and he didn't do it.
But I think he gets his ice cream every day.
Probably right.
We got that working for us.
Probably right. Tommy would know. Tommy's got insight. Yeah, he probably does. No, so I don't know. Putin is, these are chess players. Putin's a smart guy, and he also wants to teach NATO a lesson. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't have a lot of confidence in Austin or Miley and the guys at the Pentagon. They're more worked up about critical race theory and also getting the military jab, which is a great concern. I know Dr. Lee Merritt, who is a military doctor, said we don't know what's in those vaccines. I don't want to see our troops inoculated. So I'm just hoping they won't, there's 7 or 8% are not jabbed, but I just hope they won't keep getting the boosters. So we got to be ready, and I don't know. I'm just not real confident with these guys right now. If it was Trump or Bush, to a certain extent, but Trump for sure, that wouldn't happen. Right now, I'm just not very confident in these guys at all, and we have reason to be.
Thank you. I appreciate
you. Well, pray. Pray. Yes, sir.
You are probably not the perfect guy to ask this question of, but with all the topics you've covered tonight, I'm going to go ahead and raise the issue. To me, this stuff is much of what you've discussed tonight is life-threatening. And I have a question about Christian use of lethal force. Just to use as one example the COVID situation, if someone is coming to force me to take the jab or force my child or grandchild to take the jab, am I justified? I mean, I don't think that's self-defense necessarily, but am I justified in using lethal force to prevent that or not?
I hope we won't be put in that position. We do have a lot of lawlessness right now in our country. I'm very concerned about that. But, if we didn't have so many guns in the street, and a lot of people have their ammunition now, despite the fact they tried to restrict the ammunition, that I think is a very, very extreme situation I hope we never have to face. But we have the right to defend ourselves. And if it comes down to that, I know where I'm going. And, I grew up on a ranch, so we were bird hunters, and I finally bought a couple guns, pistols, and I need to practice a little bit with them. But other than that, I hope I don't have to use them. I hope I don't. But thank God for the activists that we have, the evangelical Christians. It seems like we're losing at times because we don't control the media. We don't control our government, federal government. But
well, don't you think they have to disarm us?
Well, they might. That would probably be some, that's a good point, Tommy. That's probably what they would try to do first.
Sure, some event, you know.
But fortunately, we have the Second Amendment still. So
right.
That's probably, I think the one concern, and, you know, God's sovereign over all of this, is President Trump had a lot of executive orders that pretty much allowed him to do anything he wanted to do. He didn't get rid of those when he left. They're still in place for this administration. Doesn't mean they couldn't have put them back in place anyhow, but this administration, you know, concerned, shut down the internet and do some things that are really, really drastic. Shut down our ability to communicate. And, you know, I pray that we're going to be able to continue to be able to communicate, but that's going to be key. But we have the Second Amendment. If they want to go really, really off the chart nefarious, they could shut down the internet and put the military. We don't have enough military out there right now to really create havoc. But how do we communicate if the internet's down? That's my greatest concern. I still think we have enough guys in the trenches that we can fight this and stand up against this. And fortunately, we have 200 federal judges now that are in place that weren't in place. And I pray that the Supreme Court stays strong on the masks and the vaccine mandates and starts getting some guts and stand up against this. So it's one of those questions I don't know, but I tell you what, I'd much rather be here in the United States than over in Europe right now or Australia and Canada. But if our life and our loved ones, I mean, talking about forcing jabs in us, it's poison. we're gonna stand up against it. We're going to. We have to. Principally.
Yeah, Bill. Excellent presentation. Spot on.
Thank you, Mike.
Really appreciated all the information. There was one thing, though, that I was concerned about, and that is playing a message by an archbishop for the calling of all Christians to come together in unity with the Catholic Church. And in 1965, the Roman Catholic Church issued a decree on ecumenism. And ever since then, their goal is to unite all professing Christians under the power and influence of the papacy. And that is their goal. They say that we don't have the fullness of salvation until we come home to the Eucharist.
Yep.
We're lacking the Eucharist. And so when I heard this message for Christians to unite with Roman Catholics to, if you ask the question, do I think he's born again? If he were born again, he would be more concerned about the eternal destiny of 1.3 billion Catholics, and he would be preaching the gospel to them, and he would be calling them to repent of their Catholic faith, exchange their religion for a relationship with Christ, and he's not doing that. So, and the other thing, if he was really born again, he would seek to worship God in spirit and in truth. So in my mind, it's not a question. He's a Roman Catholic. He believes the Roman Catholic gospel, which, by the way, is under divine condemnation because of Galatians 1, 6 to 9. They've added requirements for salvation. It's not by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so I just wanted everybody here to be aware of the ecumenical movement. You know, we've got the Manhattan Declaration. We've got evangelicals and Catholics together. They want us to be co-belligerents, to come together, not for the purpose of unity in Christ, but for the purpose of winning the social and moral wars that are going on.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. If anybody would know this, you would for sure. You've given your life to this, and you are spot on. I think we're all just looking for some people to come alongside us right now. But, you have to be real careful. I remember that. What was the guy that was putting on that ecumenical event, Bishop Tony, with
Perkins?
Yeah. And, you know, right after he did that unity thing where he said that everybody needs to come back to the Mother Church, about 1 week later after he had that big event in Europe, he died in a head-on automobile accident.
Right.
He was just taken out. I mean, I can't, you know, I follow patterns, and that's what he was calling for, unity amongst all the churches to come back to the Mother Church. And a week later, he was, after his event, he was out of the picture. So,
sure.
Lord takes that real serious. I guess pray for salvation. I think that you're absolutely right, Mike. You know it very well. I think that we're in a battle. And you know, I think some of my friends that have been in the pro-life movement have been elbow to elbow and shoulder to shoulder with the Catholics in the pro-life events. And he said, boy, they are fighters, and they've appreciated the partnership. But you made a good point. We're kind of moving beyond that to, you know, where are all these Catholics going to spend eternity? And probably need to look at that more so than the anti-global initiative. So
sure, and the key verse, we see that. The key verse is 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, that we're not to be unequally yoked in spiritual enterprises. And anytime you're joining hands with Catholics, that's a spiritual enterprise. So, yeah, I appreciate the opportunity.
That. Yeah, I receive that. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Bill.
You bet. Appreciate it.
I am a pastor, and I am well armed. If you come to my home and you break in, you will not be leaving.
That's right.
When I'm in the pulpit on Sunday mornings, I have my Glock for the flock. And
Glock for the flock. That's good.
You mentioned Australia and that over the last 20 years, they have virtually stripped Australians of their right to bear arms. And we know that the left and Joe Biden and all the rest of them up there, they want to do this to us. And I'm wondering, with what you know of what's going on in Washington, if you know of anything working in the background right now that is a concerted effort that's working on a crisis scenario where they could pull that off.
In the event they try to pull that off?
Yeah.
Confiscation of guns?
Yeah.
Not yet, but I tell you, the great thing about a believer is we've got eyes everywhere. Everywhere. We've got eyes in the CIA, the FBI, Christians. We're not talking about Christian eyes. And the network of believers out there and people that do the news, you know, I'll see it. I believe I'll see it if it's out there. I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay.
But if anybody sees something, send it my way. But we got an incredible network of believers around the country in all facets of government, in almost every organization except for mainstream media. We got, unfortunately, well, I won't go there. But anyhow, Fox News, and I encourage people that way, saying we've got people in high levels in the Pentagon. We've got people in high levels of the CIA and the FBI. We got them there. God has his people. So that's what's critical, is we just keep an eye out as watchmen, and if anything like that happens. So far, no. You know, every once in a while they do try. Washington's big in trial balloons. You might see an article. You know, Bloomberg was a big take the gun guy. You know, and some of the guys running for Democratic, you know, the nominee to be the Democrats' presidential nominee, they use guns quite a bit. But that kind of went away. But we'll keep watching. We know they want to take them, but how do they start? It'd be a fight that they will lose. I really believe.
Good to hear.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I appreciate all the information you provided, too. My name is Lee, and I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. I think that one thing that can encourage the average person in the pew is if all these pastors in here will go back and talk about how they can get involved locally where they are, through prayer, like you mentioned, but also being involved in practical ways in the community and supporting those who are believers, who are running for office in various capacities, find out who these people are, support them financially. We have a longtime friend who just decided to run for the U.S. Senate in the state of Georgia. He's a strong evangelical Christian. He has a business background. He's had two terms in the Georgia House. His name is Josh Clark. And so if you know people in Georgia, you have relatives or friends in Georgia, ask them to go to votejosh.com and look at him. He's running against Herschel Walker in the primary. But we know that as we become informed, we can have a greater impact.
Yeah, yes, sir, absolutely. I think part of our problem is we weren't involved 20, 30, 40 years ago. The other side was very involved, and unfortunately, a lot of them got into school boards. That's where our battle, we're getting clobbered on the school boards across the country. And, you know, some of the, unfortunately, a lot of the churches didn't suggest people get involved locally, politically. And, you know, we need to. And our problem is we weren't involved. You know, in the state legislature are even running for Congress. And right now we're trying to make up for lost time. And unfortunately, in our country now, there is no wiggle room anymore. It's a battle between good and evil like never before. And this is all the sin issues. That's the most divisive issues. You know, we have freedom of speech in this country, but if we say anything negative about LGBT or Islam, but especially LGBT, they call that hate speech. We used to call that free speech. But hey, it's hate speech. So, unfortunately, we weren't involved, and now we're paying the price, but we can still get involved and stay occupied until he comes, and we need to, as the Lord leads.
And try and make God the issue and learn how to do that. And there's ways that you can learn to do that.
Yes, sir.
So on the Mississippi case, how do you see Roberts pulling or affecting Barrett and Kavanaugh?
I hope Roberts comes through. You know, he's so unpredictable at times. Roberts has always wanted his court not to be political, but we're at a point right now, almost every major decision they make is political, and you have no other choice because we're at that point where there's no wiggle room. And I hope Barrett and Kavanaugh come alongside too. I hope they, so far so good. But you know, if we don't have Roberts, that's 5-4. If all the conservatives in the court vote with it. But you know, there's always like this Senator Shanahan from New Hampshire talking about civil unrest. You got members of Congress talking about civil war. You know, this is hideous. It's over the life of an unborn. And they're talking about civil war if the Supreme Court makes the wrong decision. So with all that said, we just need to pray that even Roberts joins a majority, and that's a successful case. It should be. Exactly. Yeah, yes. Absolutely, it's moral. Yes, sir.
I liked what you said about Trump, but in the first two years, he was able to do 240 major things. But then he was so for this vaccine. What do you suppose, is he part of the plant, or is he actually what I hope he is, you know, a real patriot? But so many people think because he was moving for this vaccine that he was actually part of this system.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's about four or five different takes. I haven't read Navarro's book yet, but I think Navarro's going to be accurate. I think Atlas will be accurate. I read a headline this week that Mark Meadows, it was kind of a setup. I haven't read the article yet, so I shouldn't give it any credence, but that it was possibly a setup to go for the Operation Warp Speed, knowing that it couldn't be done, and that would put him in a vulnerable position and cost him the election. But I think that the biggest problem was listening to Fauci and not doing the hydroxychloroquine and going that route and those kind of things. And that was very costly. And also, some people said, look, if you get Operation Warp Speed through and get vaccines ready for people before the election, you got it. You're going to win. And there was a certain side of his administration that was very bold in saying, you got to get it done. So what had happened? Pfizer, a week after the election, and then Moderna, 2 weeks after the election, said we hit 94% efficacy. He got nothing from it. And actually ended up being led to the mail-in ballots, et cetera, et cetera. So,
also, on Mike Lindell's going before the Supreme Court, was he able to get the Attorney General's?
He hasn't yet. He hasn't yet.
I know he was making an appeal to write you.
They're reluctant to. You know, when the Texas and the other 17 or 18 states wanted saying that, you know, the outcome in Pennsylvania affects our country. I mean, we have a right to look at the election integrity. And when the Supreme Court just tossed it, that was too bad. Because they're saying, look, if that's illegal in Pennsylvania and other states, then it's going to affect us. It's going to affect a lot of things. So we have a position in this, and the Supreme Court threw it right back out. They didn't want a divisive issue. The vaccine mandates and the mask mandates, they tossed that, the main issue. And I think another one the other day is New Jersey possibly. They don't want it. They are doing everything they can to stay out of divisive decisions. And when Barrett and Kavanaugh joined the progressives on that mandate in Maine, I just said, that's cowardly. Cowardly. Don't join them about anything, especially when it comes to rights regarding vaccines and mandates. So, I don't know, they're frustrating at times.
Bill, according to Navarro, Dr. Navarro, the interview that I heard him speak about on this very question about the vaccine, they knew it would be only about 60% effective, and they were counting on therapeutics. Of course, they were torpedoed by the therapeutics.
Yeah.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment, given we were talking about school board and elections and whatnot. And I was on school board for 4 years, just recently ended my term in June, and decided not to rerun. But I just wanted to emphasize the importance of supporting your local candidates. The only reason I think I survived my 4 years was because of my church.
I bet.
Yeah, so I just want to emphasize prayer, support financially, also just morally, just supporting, you know, calling up when they're going through tough times and showing your support. But also, I think we've seen on various YouTube videos about parental, you know, involvement and speaking up. And I have to say, I was a little bit, some of them are, they get very angry, and it kind of turns me off a little bit, because a lot of times I would be up there in support of the person, but the way they went about it or the lack of information they had was always disappointing. So make sure you do your research, that you know what you're talking about, and that you're not yelling at somebody who actually didn't vote for, because a lot of times it wasn't even happening in our district, but people just assumed it was, and so they would yell at us. So just some words of, you know, encouragement for people to support. And there was a petition for my resignation because I voted against the anti-racist resolution. I was the only one that voted against it. And it was really my church that came around and did a counter petition for, on my behalf. And so it really shut up the people that were opposing me. So I just wanted to encourage you all to definitely, you know, speak up and support your local candidates.
Thank you. You have to be a school board. So, as you all know, parents, school board is a critical place to be running. We just need to fill the courts or fill the school boards with Christians. And it might take a while, but we need to do that as long as we're here.
Bill, I got a link from a friend of mine this last week of a guy in Israel, and I watched about 10-minute little video he had on it, and he was claiming that Israel was in, like, top-ready military readiness. And the next night I watched him, and he said that there was a large explosion in Iran at one of their nuclear...
Yeah, Narantz.
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like another a hit by Israel. Yeah. Yeah, that's they've been so effective at that. I didn't have a chance to dig into that more, but it sounds like it's exactly what happened.
So do you think Israel will attack if they believe they've got a nuke or close to it?
Yeah, it's beginning to sound like that, Tommy. Right. I mean, more and more people, even Amir Sarfati said the other day that there's jet traffic in Israel that he hadn't heard in a long time. So,
right, I saw that clip.
Yeah, so it seems tense. You know, you read the headlines, you kind of let the Holy Spirit discern, but it sounds like things are pretty tense right now. And, I mean, I'm trying to get Biden to agree to help come alongside Israel to hit Iran. That's, you can try, but I think it's that, you know, Israel has the gift of preemptive strikes. General Ord Wingate, the British general, taught them that gift, and they have red lines. They almost crossed it a couple years ago in Syria. You know, all that stuff was happening in the Syrian-Israeli border with Russia and Iran. They were real close in, and that was even according to past U.S. ambassadors, Crocker and another gentleman. I think we're getting close again. I don't know. It's
Ord Wingate was a Plymouth Brethren conservative Bible
interesting,
Christian.
Interesting. I love that.
And they named the defense building after him.
Yeah.
Because he
yeah.
developed
a gift. Yeah.
How to well, hit him. He's when he was the only British guy there that was had developed these attacks at night and everything, and he kind of is the father of the IDF, and they were just sitting back doing nothing. He comes in and he starts organizing these night attacks, you know. And the British, when he left, he offered to stay, but they said, "No, you can go on to your next station." And actually, he is the father in modern warfare of like Navy SEALs and all of those kind of guys.
Fascinating.
In the military period. And he was killed at the end of World War II in an airplane crash.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Israel owes a lot to him for sure,
yes.
that gift. And that's what Israel, when you're that small of a country with that kind of threat. And Syria's now said they're going to respond to anything that happens inside their country if Israel hits anything Iranian in there. So that was – I just read the headlines just before I came tonight. So I don't know. It's tense. We'll see what happens.
Hi. My question is we've spoken – I'm involved in Wisconsin's political scene and have witnessed where Senator Johnson has been working extraordinarily hard, but every time he tries to do anything, he gets censored, knocked down, and has promised – well, I shouldn't say promised, but said there's huge things coming, and I'm assuming the groups that you stated are – doing a checkmate sort of thing. So my question is there anyone like Liberty Council or anyone that's having any success with the mandates that they're trying to implement and impose
yeah,
on businesses?
Yeah, Matt Staver, Liberty Council. I think Kelly Shackelford here has had some success. They're probably out there in California. The Pacific Group has had some success. I think they're trying to coordinate some of their efforts right now. They have had successes. There hasn't been anything set in concrete that they can take state to state to state. I know Dr. Vallette's group, she's working with 10 attorneys. I've been on a couple of their Zoom calls. They're trying to coordinate things right now. It's not there because the adversary. So what happens, these hospitals are part of big corporations. They have their protocol, and they've followed the CDC, FDA guidelines, and they're adamant. And I mean, here's Mayo Clinic. I was spoke in Phoenix a couple weeks ago, and the lady that I had happened to sit next to at dinner was a transplant coordinator at Mayo, and she says, "I've had COVID. My husband had COVID. He got religious exemption. He's also assistant pastor. They've been at Mayo 23 years. They've been told by January 4th, the jabber, you're out of work." And she said, "That's fine. I'm ready to retire anyhow." But she said that, unfortunately, a lot of the doctors have Pfizer stock. And also, they're really into the jab, where all the nurses and a lot of the people that are dealing with this are saying, "This is crazy." 8,100 people, Rochester, Jacksonville, and Scottsdale, are going to have to make a decision by January 4th, take the jab or you're out of work. And The battle, the frontline battle in the hospitals, you just can't believe it. But unfortunately, a lot of these are corporate hospitals now with their mandates. And they put a lot of the cases into COVID where they get a lot more money for running people through the COVID protocol, no, not protocols, but the COVID billing than they would if it was flu or something else. So it's case by case.
Yes, this question might be for some of the faculty. As we pray, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we know as we study Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 that we're in that fourth empire and we will go to a one world government. Then we look at 2 Peter 3 and it says as we know that these things are going to happen, what, how should we be in holy conduct, looking for and hastening that day? So you touched on it briefly about your boldness in evangelism. Should we be praying more that we really be turned on to be more bold in our evangelistic effort at this point in time? Should we be doing things that hinder us moving towards that one world?
Well, it's a tough call, because I certainly feel pulled to do more evangelism at this time. I'm also a watchman, so that takes a lot of time to stay up to date with everything. But this is going to be one of the, I don't think we'll ever have the revival a lot of people are talking about. If we do, then that's praise the Lord. But I don't see it because of the dysfunctional church. And I thought coronavirus would have a greater impact on people of really questioning their life, but it hasn't. I don't think there's been much change at all. A lot of churches aren't even meeting anymore. So,
in my neighborhood, it seems like I've encountered that 2 Corinthians 4 where the God of this age has blinded the heart of the unbelieving. I see more dullness and blindness out there. Just at the hospital I work, I remember telling a patient, I said, well, you really need the Lord. He goes and sees another doctor in the same hospital, and down the hallway I have a doctor yelling at me, say, hey, Rick, I understand you're practicing faith healing today. And I said, well, all healing is divine.
Yes, it is. Could you explain what you explained to me about hydroxychloroquine and how much of your long history with the benefit of that product?
Well, I was in Vietnam. So in Vietnam, every soldier took chloroquine on Monday as malaria prophylaxis. It was in the mess hall. It wasn't overseen by any physician. We'd take chloroquine on Monday and Dapsone on Tuesday through Sunday, non-monitored. I'm a dermatologist, and I treated autoimmune disease for 40 years with hydroxychloroquine. We give a one-year supply, say, call if you have a problem. I seldom got a call. We had monitoring guidelines, main thing, retinopathy for long-term usage. But then the retina specialists would say that we're overemphasizing that side effect. But as soon as President Trump recommended it as a possible therapy, it became poison. My wife had COVID, took ivermectin before, and got better the next day. And then as soon as it was shown effective and it was kind of going against the vaccine, then all of the forces came out against ivermectin, and suddenly it's horse serum, which is it's a different dosage. We use it for scabies in dermatology. We treated worm infestations, and we'd see side effects, but we thought it was just the worm breaking up and the autoimmune reaction against the fragments. When we use it in scabies, I seldom saw a side effect with ivermectin. So it's just interesting the forces that come at you when there's a particular agenda that's trying to be reached.
Thank you very much.
Well, everybody is talking about the 2022 elections. And, I mean, I think we're all being optimistic that we even see a 2022 election. But here's my question. I have been reading about an executive order that Richard Nixon signed in 72 that in case of martial law chaos, they could divide the U.S. into 10 groups that would be governed by an administrative body that was non-elected. And I just wondered if you had any information about that.
I had. It's very, very interesting. I'm sure there are some things buried in the books that could be used, and we know the bad guys would definitely know about that, very likely. That's very interesting. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how they could implement it. I just think a lot, I don't know. It's just, we're living in such interesting times. I mean, we've never been in a presidency like this where we'd had to break our country into 10 areas, but My big concern, again, is the control of the communications apparatuses, whether it's the internet, telephones, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
Probably going to reach a point where it doesn't matter, you know, what the law says and all of that, if certain people.
Yeah, that's a concern or some kind of crisis. You know, we hear about the Chinese military on our borders all the time waiting to come in, and are the United Nations troops that are waiting to come into the U.S. Hear about that for 20 years, or hear about, you know, they're going to get all the good guys out of the military with this vaccine requirement, and you hear a lot of different things in this overactive imagination world. But I don't know. It's just something. It's an area we've never been before, but that's interesting. That was Nixon in 72?
Yeah, that's what
he
said. Wow.
Well, the bad guys probably know about that, so hopefully they won't use it.
Well, it's 10 o'clock. Do you have any closing remarks?
Well, hate to be a purveyor of bad news, but the good news is the Lord's coming soon, and he's given us the eyes to see and ears to hear. And at the same time, let's stay occupied till he comes and keep praying for those in your family. Don't lose hope. There's a lot of people you never thought had come to Christ that have. So just keep praying and ask. And I think what's important for guys like us, Tommy, and a lot of the speakers, is we see so much need out there right now. And I think it's important for all of us, Lord, just keep me focused on what you want me focused on for your purpose at this time. Oswald Chambers has had some great teachings on that lately. So we just all need to stay about the Lord's business and not be distracted with these times. And finish strong. You know, finish strong.
Andy, would you close us in prayer? Thank you so much, Bill.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you all.